This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, as officials in England deal with the carnage of yet another terrorist attack and possibly coming to grips with the dangers of political correctness, are American officials taking note and reviewing our own policies? South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson joins me in just a moment. And how are Christians in England responding to this third terrorist attack in as many months? Peter Wooding with Global News Alliance is in London, and he joins me here on Washington Watch. Also, in a tearful, defiant apology on Friday, comedian Kathy Griffin blamed the Trump family for destroying her career. Another comedian, Shonda Pierce, pointed to something else that she says is the cause of Griffin's implosion. Shonda is here later on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you miss anything on your way home, it's all archived right there at TonyPerkins.com. Check it out later. Also, lots of resources there available for you so that you're not only informed, but you can be engaged and involved. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, I think you are well aware of this. There was yet another deadly terrorist attack in England over the weekend. Seven civilians were killed and dozens more were injured when three men drove a van into people on London Bridge before getting out and stabbing others at a nearby market. Police shot and killed the attackers. British authorities, as of earlier today, had made at least a dozen arrests in connection to the attacks. Now, this makes three major terrorist attacks in as many months. ISIS, once again, is claiming responsibility. Now, in response, President Trump is pushing on social media for his proposed travel ban. Joining us now is Congressman Joe Wilson. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of South Carolina, and he serves on the House Armed Services Committee and the Foreign Affairs Committee. Congressman, welcome to Washington Watch.
And, Tony, it's great to be with you, and I want to thank you for your service in the U.S. Marine Corps as a police officer, as a former state legislator, and thank you also for the Family Research Council. You make such a difference in giving information and updating those of us serving in Congress, and you make quite a difference, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Congressman. I appreciate that. And I want to – you've long been focused on these issues and have been a backer of national security. It appears that the British Prime Minister, Theresa May – seems to be taking a hard line following these attacks. But I guess my question for you, is it too little too late for her?
Well, I'm very concerned, and you were actually ahead of the curve, Tony, when you identified political correctness. It's really sad in Western Europe, in the United States, it is so politically incorrect to cite the danger of Islamic extremist terrorists, but it needs to be done. And then people need to report when they see incidents and events, as we saw in San Bernardino, as we saw in Orlando. These people give information, and on social media, there needs to be an effort to stop this before it occurs. And I truly, Tony, have been impacted, obviously, by the attacks of 9/11. To me, that's the Pearl Harbor of our time. And I never cease to point out that we're in a global war on terrorism. We have been since 9/11, and we need to take this as truly an effort to preserve our civilization and protect the lives of our citizens.
Congressman, many have been critical today of President Trump or over the weekend as he took to Twitter expressing his concern over his travel ban that was struck down and blocked by the courts. You know, personally, I think I can feel the president's frustration because I know you have access to information. You get classified briefings because of the positions you hold. The president has even more information at his fingertips. You know, when someone is reacting the way he is, I think it's because he knows that America needs to take actions to protect itself so that we don't see what's happening in England happening here.
And Tony, you're absolutely correct. I believe the president's speaking from the heart. He is just so, he has become so personally affected by the potential of mass slaughter, murder of American citizens, and he wants to stop it. And that's why he should really be given such credit, the speech that he gave in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, a week ago Sunday, how incredible that was, trying to bring together the forces of moderation within the religion of Islam to protect the people of those countries and the United States and England. We can see it, Tony, that actually the largest number of people who are being slaughtered by Islamic extremists are Muslims. We saw that at the ice cream shop just 2 weeks ago in Baghdad. We saw that in Kabul with the mass slaughter by the extraordinary bomb that struck in the Green Zone. We see it almost every week that you see a terrorist attack killing fellow Muslims in Pakistan, in Somalia, in Libya, over and over again. And the president fully understands that wherever there's a safe haven, the American people are going to be at risk.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Congressman Joe Wilson of South Carolina, my guest. He represents the 2nd Congressional District, and he serves on the House Armed Services Committee and the Foreign Affairs Committee as well in the House. The president also criticized the London mayor, Mayor Khan, in his response. And, of course, some of those things can be taken out of context, but I go back to something that the mayor of London said 2 days before the attacks, where he pointed to the greatest threat. Let me see if I'm going to get the quote right. One of the biggest risks to humanity, he said, was global warming, or was the climate change, and was going after President Trump for pulling out of the Paris Accord. You know, this is what I don't get about the left. They point to something that, you know, they have no control over when in their own streets the blood of their citizens is being spilled.
It's really inconceivable, and that, it makes you feel sorry for them, Tony. But the good news is that, as we saw in elections in Britain with Brexit, as we've seen by the elections in the United States for president, Congress, General Assemblies across the United States, people do understand that it's limited government that's successful in providing opportunity jobs and it also protecting American families. And so the diversion of persons who are focused on global warming, who the same people who warned us of global cooling, we need to be focused on the threats to American families and Western families today, which is Islamic extremist terrorists.
Yeah, that's what people are dying from.
Yes, now.
Right now, yeah. There. You can look at it. It's unfolding right before our eyes.
Hey, and Tony, they're dying now. And within our own country, we have possibly hundreds of cells of persons. And that's why the president is so personally affected. He does not want to say, "I told you so." What he wants to do is have a travel ban on 6 ungoverned countries. Which were actually identified initially by the Obama administration.
Right.
This is not picking on the Muslim religion. If he was, we would have a ban on Indonesia, the largest Muslim country on earth. But that's not true. And so over and over again, I've just been so impressed by the leadership of Donald Trump. And from the heart, he wants the best for American people. And he's making every effort to avoid a circumstance, "I told you so."
So how long, Congressman, I know that this is probably beyond your ability to answer, but how long will the liberals in the media and even your colleagues in Congress continue to block the president's common sense approach to protecting the borders of this country, given what has unfolded, like I said, 3 attacks in England in the last 3 months? I mean, what is it going to take for us to respond?
Well, sadly, Tony, I think that there's some people who live in such a bubble that I call it a parallel universe, and that is they just will never understand. But you're making a difference because you're explaining this to people who can help provide a majority. And to me, a majority is 51%. It's really sad that there may be 49% of the American population that do not understand. But thanks to good people like Tony Perkins, the 51% can make a difference.
Well, and that's where we need our listeners to engage when there are opportunities to support those in Congress like yourself that are working to ensure that America stays free and safe. And look, I understand and every conservative understands there is a clear balance with the First Amendment, with our freedoms as Americans. But at the same time, we have to protect our country. You know, for those who want to come here to destroy this country and everything that Western civilization stands for, they have no right to be here. We don't have to let them in our country to destroy us.
You're absolutely right. And I put it in the context, you and I grew up in the era of the Cold War. We were told perpetually that through moral relativism, there was no difference between the Soviet Union and the United States. You and I knew better. That people who lived under communism were truly enslaved people. And we were never told that we could actually win. But Ronald Reagan had the vision. I go back to Barry Goldwater, the book he wrote, Why Not Victory? You and I had seen where, indeed, sadly, the same people who today do not see the danger of Islamic extremism and terrorism are the same people who dismiss the danger of Soviet imperialism.
So what is the most practical way that our listeners can be of help to those of you in Congress that are trying to stand with the president right now?
Well, my view is to contact their members of the U.S. House and Senate and let them know that they support the president's efforts on a limitation on persons coming into our country, a vetting of the persons who come into our country. I myself have actually been an attorney who worked with immigration law. We have good immigration laws. We need to enforce the immigration laws that we have and then encourage people when they come to the United States to assimilate as quickly as possible and become successful. I work very closely with the Indian American population in the United States, and it's such an inspiration, Tony, to see how the Indian American community has become involved in business and civic activities and been spectacularly successful, which then has had an impact back in India itself, where they've de-socialized because they see the success of pre-market capitalism.
That is a way that we can impact the world. And we're a stronger nation as people come in, but as people who want to come in and be a part of the American family, the American experience, and they want to be a part of that, the fabric of the American family, as opposed to unraveling that fabric. And we welcome those in that want to be a part. But those who want to attack, destroy, and kill, I'm with the president. I think we should have the extreme vetting. And just as Britain, some of these folks that they have now arrested in the Manchester case, and even one of these terrorists that was killed over the weekend, they had been tracking them. They were on the watch list. They knew these were bad guys, but they continued to operate. It's beyond reason.
Well, and it's really sad, the lack of assimilation. But this has been as you identified, and they're actually second generation. They should be fully assimilated. They should be appreciative of Western values and society and the opportunities they've had, which have been immeasurably better than in their home countries that they left. If they will not assimilate, then they need to be returned back to the countries of origin as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Congressman Wilson, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, I'm honored to be with you, Tony. Thank you for making a difference, and we all appreciate the Family Research Council, and look forward to seeing you in Washington soon.
All right. Thanks, Congressman. All right, don't go away, folks. We're back after this.
When you think of hot-button issues, what comes to your mind? For most of America's history, religious liberty was fairly uncontroversial. Not anymore. What happened? I'm Travis Weber, director of the Center for Religious Liberty at Family Research Council. Religious liberty is now a heated issue, right alongside topics like abortion and sexual identity. It's often placed in quote marks in news stories, as if there's more going on than really meets the eye. But what does religious liberty really mean, and why is it so controversial? The public discussion of what was once a tame topic is now a point of sharp division. How did we reach this point? A new FRC brochure entitled Religious Liberty, An Introduction to Our Freedom to Believe, simplifies this complex issue in an easy-to-read format, discover the true meaning of religious liberty, who is affected by it, why it's being infringed, why you should care, and what you can do about it. You will find answers to these common questions at frc.org/religious liberty.
Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
Our great country continues to get slammed by natural disasters, hurricanes and tornadoes, flooding. I mean, it's everywhere from Texas, South Carolina, to Georgia, Mississippi, all throughout the country, our country has suffered. Here's where you and I get a chance to be a glimpse of Jesus. It is so cool to meet a homeowner who has gone to no fault of their own. Their world has been turned upside down, and you get a chance to bless them. You know, we tarp roofs and do chainsaw work, and we gut homes that flooded right after disaster with our rapid response team. And then we also look to rebuild homes with 8 Days of Hope, like we've done 12 different areas of the country. 1,800 homes, $25 million of damage. People all the time say, man, you're good. Well, we're not that good, but he is great. Be a part of something unique. 8 Days of Hope.
Learn more at 8daysofhope.com.
Abortion is not a complicated issue. It all comes down to one question. Hi, Kim Catola for Cradle My Heart Today. Megan is a pro-life apologist with Life Training Institute, helping students avoid abortion by asking, why are humans valuable? She provides answers from science and philosophy. The science of embryology teaches that from conception forward, the unborn is a distinct, living, whole human being. You didn't come from an embryo, you once were an embryo. And there's no morally significant difference between the embryo you once were and the adult you are today that would justify killing you then, but not now. Megan says, if the unborn are not human beings, no justification is needed. But if they are, no justification is sufficient. Find out more about Life Training Institute and other pro-life resources at cradlemyheart.org. Saving lives and healing hearts after abortion, one story at a time. cradlemyheart.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. Twitter is at T. Perkins. All right, we're going to continue talking about this. In fact, I'm going to take your calls a little bit later to see where you stand on the president wanting to, you know, what's called extreme vetting. And we'll talk more about that. But first, I want to turn to another side of this as Christians are responding to what we described earlier, the third attack in as many months in Britain. And the Christian community is responding. And joining us now is Peter Wooding. He is the London Bureau Chief for the Global News Alliance, which is a cooperative news gathering network from around the globe that reports on developments significant to the church and the body of Christ. And he's in London now. Peter, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, good to be speaking with you.
Well, thanks for staying up late, because I know a little bit later there in London. Now, what has been the response of Christians there to this this third terrorist attack?
Well, I mean, it's amazing the timing that already Christians had planned a day of prayer yesterday on Pentecost Sunday, the day after the attacks, part of an initiative called Thy Kingdom Come. And literally every cathedral was packed out with prayer vigils. So while these were taking place, obviously they were united more than ever before in praying for peace in the country. And there's just a real resolve among Christians working together. Within hours, a Billy Graham rapid response team had been deployed, ministering to people walking past at London Bridge and at Borough Market. There's a street pastors team that is out and about. So these teams, a bit overwhelmed, because this is the eighth time in 2 years that Billy Graham chaplains have been deployed to Europe. This is the third attack in the UK within just a matter of months. And I spoke to their leader yesterday, Nigel Fawcett-Jones, and he said, just pray for strength and grace for them as they just seek to be there to minister to people. What's also very remarkable is that a man called Howard Conder, who heads up a Christian TV station here, felt God told him earlier this year to put quotes of Jesus on London buses. And these buses are actually passing by a Tower Bridge with quotes of Jesus, like, with God, all things are possible. And you know, it's amazing timing that that will obviously hopefully bring a message of hope and peace to people. So there really is a very strong, united, and positive response from the church.
So it sounds like it's similar to what happened in the United States back after 9/11, where the churches really just overflowed with people looking for a source of comfort and strength. And I know these events were already planned by Kingdom Come, but I assume that more people have now turned to the church as a result of what's been happening.
Yeah, that's the hope, really. You know, this is the opportunity for us. I attend a church in Manchester that was just literally 100 yards from the arena where the Ariana Grande concert happened. And, you know, while people were running away from the arena, members of my church were running to the arena to just to be the hands and feet of Jesus and help in any way they could. So it's just seizing that opportunity to demonstrate love and just be there for the people when they need it.
So is there a sense, Peter, that as we see the evil of those associated with the radical Islam, you know, attacking innocent civilians, you know, the church in Europe has kind of been on the ropes, so to speak. Is this something that could bring a new depth to the Christian faith in Europe when people realize that there is a battle between good and evil?
I think very much so. You know, we've seen in restricted countries where persecution sees churches thriving because it does bring them together. And I think that's, you know, that's my hope and prayers. That's what we'll see here in the UK.
Now, we have seen, and we've tracked this here in the United States. I mean, you know, we've got a connection there with England, and we share a common ancestry and a common Western civilization, the kind of the Christian faith. But we've seen increasingly your own government there kind of cracking down on Christians, arresting them for preaching the gospel. But it seems like they kind of take a hands-off approach when it comes to the Islamic faith. Is that a false perception, or is that actually happening?
Well, I worked for a number of years for Christian Legal Center, so I have seen firsthand. I've sat in courtrooms where I've literally seen this anti-Christian bias of Christians that have been arrested, put in prison cells, really for just preaching from the Bible. Some people may have been offended by it, that they thought it was homophobic or Islamophobic. So I've certainly seen that marginalization. I wouldn't go so far as calling it persecution, but definitely Christians being marginalized. And I think they are, marginalized more than we see the Islamic community. I think also the point is that, sadly, the church is too quiet when it happens. I think if something similar did happen to a Muslim, that they were arrested for a hate crime, there would be a huge outcry from the Muslim community. But sadly, the church still is too quiet, except for some of these organizations like the Christian Legal Center.
Could this be a turning point for the church to regain its voice and its as it regains its compassion for the hurting?
I still think we've got a long way to go here in the UK. I think one of the positive signs is I was at an event over the weekend, so I was just coming home from an event called Big Church Day Out, which is a huge event that attracted 40,000 Christians gathering together to worship in solidarity and just enjoying worshiping together. And so I think that shows the sign that the church is growing, is thriving, but also there's some, I think we've got a long way to go in really engaging. We've got our general election coming up this Thursday. One thing that is interesting is Theresa May was interviewed by a Christian radio station in London here, Premier Radio, and she said if she wins the leadership, she keeps her post as the Prime Minister, she will ensure Christians are no longer marginalized. Well, if she wins, let's hope and pray she stands by that.
Well, we will join you, Peter, in that prayer, as well as praying for the victims of this latest attack. Peter Wooding, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, Shonda Pierce joins us to talk about Kathy Griffin's apology. What's behind her, well, implosion? We'll talk about it.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Well, certainly our hearts go out for all of the victims in the UK, their families, those that are in the hospital and injured. The UK police force certainly seems like they did a wonderful job, and the first responders were there very quickly, thankfully. But we need some continued unity as we in America and those other countries, hopefully through Europe, will go on offense in a big way against these attacks. Well, we've got some economic numbers coming out this week, but not much. A very low data week. I think that can be a good thing because, frankly, we've got so much happening in the economy that isn't economically related that is certainly going to impact the economy. We've got Comey, UK elections, terrorist attacks, Russian investigation, on and on it goes. None of these things directly related to the economy, but you know how that goes. And this is traditionally not such a great month for stocks. The month of June is not a good month traditionally, so it looks like we're going to get off to a not so good start. But we do have some economic numbers coming out yet. Productivity numbers did come out, and so did unit labor costs. Productivity was zero for the first quarter. This is a first quarter number. Zero is pretty good because it was a negative 0.6%. That's a better than a 0.5% swing. Not so bad. Unit labor costs dropped to 2.2% from the first estimate first quarter of 3%. And that's about it. We do get consumer credit numbers coming out Wednesday. That's more of an interest to me than anybody else. And then we get jobless claims coming out Thursday.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, comedian. And I have that in quotes. Kathy Griffin created a national uproar when she posted a photo holding a fake severed head of President Trump last week. She later pulled the image down and apologized. Some comedians, including, and I use that term loosely, including Jim Carrey, came to her defense saying, quote, "It's the job of the comedian to cross the line at all times," end quote. Well, she issued an apology on Friday. And here's what, in the apology, though, she really, it was a defiant apology, and she played the role of the victim. I want you to hear, I've got a clip from her apology. This is Kathy Griffin apologizing.
My impression is that they have mobilized their armies or their bots or whatever they do. It's quite clear to me that they're trying to use me as a distraction, and I'm not going to be collateral damage for this fool.
Kathy, I think
he's a fool.
Would.
So I'm going to say I think the president
is a fool.
We're
sort of going around this way, so...
You know, I can say that. I don't think I will have a career after this. I'm going to be honest. He broke me. He broke. And then I was like, no, this isn't right. It's just not right. And I apologized because that was the right thing to do and I meant it. And then I saw the tide turning and I saw what they were doing. And I went, oh, okay, they're trying to spin this and they're making it about Barron and... Obviously, that was never my intent. I would never want to hurt anyone, much less a child. But I started to see what was really happening. And then it was a mob mentality pile-on. And so many people have expressed to me personally across the country at my shows, they're scared. So, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get arrested today. I don't know. But I have to stand up.
You?
Well, with us now is a comedian of the highest standards, an Emmy-nominated and best-selling, clean, level-headed comedian, Shonda Pierce. Shonda, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate all those kind words, even though, you know, I have my tendency to embarrass you from time to time.
Well, let's talk about you. I caught what you posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
Where Kathy Griffin was saying, you know, this, as we just heard, this defiant, tearful, I guess, apology. And she blamed the president for destroying her career. You said there was something else at the heart of that.
You know, what I said on Facebook, and I I stand by my words because I have to. I'm in the same kind of job as she is. And what comes out of my mouth, I have to either suffer the consequence of, apologize, or learn something from it, or, you know, when that line gets crossed. And what I said on Facebook was that if, I think she started a downward spiral probably back in 2007, I think it was, when she waved an Emmy or Grammy, whatever it was, up in the air and said, you know, such defiant words about Jesus Christ himself. And that, you know, in my neck of the woods, that's a spiritual warfare. That is something that you're inviting such evilness into your life that that's a danger zone for me. And I think it would be clarified in Scripture that that's a danger zone. That being said, what I'm disappointed in, what I'm not hearing in her apology, is a true repentant or contrite spirit. The very first apology came along because she just came right out and said, the reaction of the crowd caused her to apologize. It wasn't really that she was sorry for doing that. And even then of late in her press conference, in her press statement, her statement was that Trump was a fool. Well, that doesn't quite exemplify to me, anyway, a contrite spirit about demeaning or bashing the very president of the United States of America, no matter who that president is. And so the consequence of what she's suffering is still a result of her behavior. Now, how do we police that? We really don't. You know, comedy is extremely subjective. What one crowd may think is hilarious, another is not. There are people that think I'm extremely funny. Then there's probably a sector of people that do not. You know, they consider clean comedy kind of soft hitting. And I always tease them and go, you want to prove how funny you are? Come make a bunch of Baptist deacons laugh on a Sunday morning without a 2-drink minimum, and we'll see how funny you are. You know, there is tough stuff all around. What I was disappointed was to hear Jim Carrey define what comedy is, and I cannot find a comedian that agrees with him.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you about that, because that bothered me too. And I'm going to use this quote, and we just got about a minute, but it says, I think it is the job of a comedian to cross the line at all times. He goes on, we're the last line of defense, and really the comedians are the last voice of truth in this whole thing. I thought comedians were supposed to make us laugh.
Yes, that's exactly right. And there are subjective ways that we can do that. And so what one person, what really somebody will guffaw about, another will not find all that funny. I never was a fan of the Three Stooges. I didn't like to see three grown men beat each other over the head. It just never made me laugh as a kid. But I was a big fan of Carol Burnett. So, in other words, I don't agree, and I don't know that a comedian out there agrees that our job is to just keep crossing lines, is to just keep, you know, working where there is no boundary. Because believe me, what I've learned, when there is a life that does not express or accept boundaries into your life, most likely they self-implode. You know, when there is a lack of boundaries, even in society, you implode. And so I would hope that if he had a minute or two to think about this, and believe me, I've been known to be, you know, quick to say something and then draw it back and realize, you know, I could have worded that a little bit differently. I hope that's the case with him. I have not heard, and I don't know him personally, to call him and go, can you clarify this for me? Because we kind of have the same job.
Shonda, we're up against a break. We have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, my friend, making us laugh.
Over here. Stay with us, folks.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority.
And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
Join Frank Turek, Richard Land, Norman Geisler, Greg Kokel, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Early bird pricing ends August 1st. Visit ses.edu for details.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can, by the way, you can email me, Tony@TonyPerkins.com. I always like to get those emails and read them. Okay, here's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to go back to what took place in London this weekend. As of earlier today, and it may be more, I haven't looked at the news in the last couple of hours, but the British authorities had arrested 12 people connected to the Saturday attack in London. And these were known extremists. Okay, these were individuals that were on these watch lists. Now, it's not unlike the Manchester bombing, and they have now, I think... as of Saturday, it could be more now, but as of Saturday, they had arrested 17 people or detained 17 people in that investigation. These are not like lone wolves that are, you know, that are lone wolves that are getting in here just doing this. These are, this shows that this is an orchestrated effort that's taking place. In fact, turns out that one of the terrorists involved in Saturday's attack had actually been filmed last year in a documentary about Islamic extremists in Great Britain. Now, he had been reported to the police, in fact, several times for his extremism, including attempts to try to radicalize children. These were known. There are some that estimate, and you heard the congressman on earlier, Congressman Wilson, talking about the hundreds of cells that are currently in the United States. Well, by some say that there are as many as 3,000 known Islamic extremists in Great Britain. And they some claim that as many as 400 of them have fought for ISIS in the Middle East and have come back to the U.K. And we know we've had some of those in the United States as well. Do we have an obligation to let those people into the country? What Donald Trump, and he took to Twitter this morning, and he's been criticized for it, but saying, look, we need extreme vetting to make sure those who want to kill us, destroy us, to undermine Western civilization and the freedoms that we enjoy, that they can't come here. And so six countries on the list that really do not have the infrastructure or not cannot be trusted to make sure that these radicals are not coming into this country. Do you have a problem with that? Obviously, there's some judges that do, and the left does. So I want to know what you think. Do you support the president in his efforts of extreme vetting to keep those out of the country who want to kill Americans? 866-372-7234. As Congressman Wilson was saying earlier, the way this gets done is those that are concerned about these issues speak out on them, speak out to their congressmen, speak out publicly about this. Look, we need to operate by our Constitution, but for those that want to destroy the Constitution, they can't claim to protect, use it as its protection as well. And should not the president, who has the benefit of national intelligence information that we do not, that the media does not have, and many members of Congress do not have. The intelligence is on a need-to-know basis for members of Congress. Now, Congressman Wilson, he serves on the Foreign Affairs Committee, and he serves on the Armed Services Committee, so he gets some intelligence, more than other members. Those on the Intel Committee get pretty much everything. But it's very limited. The president has the benefit of everything. And so I think there's a reason why he is so passionate about this, taking to Twitter and taking on these judges who continue to block his efforts, the person who is responsible, the president of the United States. These judges are not responsible for keeping America safe. In fact, I wonder what's going to happen when one of these terrorist attacks take place on American soil that could have been prevented had the president's policies been left alone. Will these judges stand up and take responsibility? I doubt it. You won't be able to find them. I mean, under the president's proposal, such applicants who are wanting to come to this country would have to provide information including, you know, social media handles as a way they can track what they've said, their phone numbers and emails for the last 5 years, prior passport numbers, any additional information about their families, past travel and employment. Look, just basically, we want to look into what you've been saying, who you've been connected with, and what you've been doing. Don't you think we have a right to do that, given what is unfolding around the world today? 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Oklahoma, where David is on the line. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello there. I just wanted to make a comment. I've called you guys before, but I listen. I work in my car, so to speak, and listen to you regularly. I have been a one-man rally myself on a particular street corner a couple of times regarding vetting, you know, making up my sign, just asking people to look at vetting closer and to support it. That was one side of the sign. On the other side, I listed all the cities that have been affected recently and all the cities that people should recognize as cities that have been disturbed by terrorism in the recent past. And I do hope that some people, I have been approached by people from the other side, but I'm not there for them. I'm there for the you know, population as a whole, so to speak. And anyway, I'm behind you know, efforts to make things, I think it's necessary and overdue at this point. Thank you.
Well, and David, I think that's important that, you know, while you may find a lot of people that agree with you, a lot of people who agree but don't say anything have no visibility. And the media, of course, the media has a whole different narrative, and it's unbelievable. I mean, I've been a defender of the media for years up until, I mean, last few years, that's obviously changed. But I mean, you go back, let's see, I wrote a book about 12 years ago. And I remember specifically in that book talking about, you know, CNN being balanced. And at that point, MSNBC was left-leaning, but I was on there quite a bit. And it was a platform. That's not that way anymore. I mean, CNN has become hard left. I mean, it's like they're the anti-Trump network. And everything the president does, they oppose. And so if we remain silent, you know, those who really have no opinion, that don't really pay much attention, they just kind of go about their business, they'll think that, well, I guess this is what I'm supposed to think, what the media is force-feeding them. So I think it's very important, David, that individuals like yourself and others reasonably, rationally, and with the evidence and the facts stand up and say, no, this is why we need to do this. I mean, consider this. Have you considered San Bernardino, Orlando, Boston? You know, we tend to lose, you know, that, sometimes we fail to connect the dots with all of these attacks that have taken place here in the United States because we just kind of move on from, you know, that was 6 months ago, we forget about it. I think it's important to realize America is at risk. And when we see these three attacks in England in 3 months, and there's no, and the threats are only growing, I think we need to take inventory and consider what we're doing here in this country. And again, the president speaking out, someone having the benefit of the intelligence information, knowing what risk America faces. David, thanks so much for listening and appreciate you calling. Let's go to Missouri where Bob is on the line. Bob, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Hey, in relation to what you've been saying about the lone wolves, I'm going to equate it to this way in the military. We were trained as snipers. And snipers were trained to carry explicit missions with an explicit objective. And one of the main things we did was intelligence gathering and commit havoc. These people that are doing these are no different than a sniper. While we are lone individuals, we are part of a greater army. And we are being directed by a greater army to carry out a specific mission. And these individuals are the same thing as a sniper in the military, except this. They do not wear a uniform.
Well, and they also don't. They also don't go after combatants. They go after innocent civilians.
It's true, but in their case, in their eyes, these are combatants because they are. What's the word they use in Islam? My brain's gone.
Infidels.
Yes, infidels. Exactly right. And so they are the combatants in their mind. In our minds, see, the thing is, the West is looking at this from the Western eyes.
True.
Instead of looking through the eyes of Islam.
True.
Okay? And the Quran is, I think you've read the Quran, I've read it five times, I teach on Islam and so forth, is very specific with all the surahs there to talk about jihad against Jews, Christians, anybody that's not a Muslim. So they're carrying out the same objective as a sniper in the military. And the other thing is, I'm always tired of hearing the media going ahead and telling Donald Trump that he's going ahead and barring all Muslims from coming in this country. He is barring those that cannot be extremely vetted, period, end of story.
Exactly right. I mean, that's what he is, and he is tasked with that responsibility of keeping us safe. And I think that's a good analogy, Bob. They're kind of like a sniper that has a mission. They go out and they do it. I think people need to realize that they are connected with that infrastructure and they have a role to play. It's not like some guy that just, you know, he gets ICE's monthly magazine and reads it and decides to go out and kill some people. No. These are folks that have, in fact, several of these individuals had traveled to Syria and other places, Libya, to be trained. And so they are a part, they're connected to that bigger organization and entity. And I think something else you said, Bob, that people have to constantly be reminded of is that we cannot understand them through the Western mindset. doesn't work. They don't see it the same way. And that's why I think we have such a hard time in this country dealing, or in the West, that would include England as well, Europe, why they have such a hard time getting a handle on this. It's not like you have a rational actor that you can, imposing that Western mindset, anticipate what his next move will be or what their reaction will be to a certain approach. Just doesn't work the same way. Well, I appreciate you calling. Let's go on to Tennessee, where Shirley is on the line. Shirley, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call. I just have two comments. I really appreciate Trump, and I pray that he is able to ban him and get him out of here. And as far as Kathy Griffin is concerned, by the way, I support Trump. As far as Kathy Griffin, I think it's horrible that an adult woman, a grown woman, didn't have enough guts to stand up and give a sincere apology. A little boy looked on TV and saw his dad, what he thought was, decapitated. And that is horrible. And she should be ashamed of herself. And I tell you, at this point, she has, I can see why, 100% after that, why her husband left her a long time ago. I heard that some years ago. He dropped her like a rock. And her career, she tried to make this whole thing about herself, and it wasn't. It was about the fact that she didn't have enough intelligence to be, yes, a comedian, but realize that she's a public figure, and people are watching, and they're going to put what she does on TV. She was proud of it. So because of that, she couldn't sell me a book, a pen, a piece of bubble gum, nothing from this point on. I'm through with her. And I know millions will join us because it's just sad that instead of realizing what she did and really giving a sincere apology, she wanted to make it about herself.
Yeah,
and
she
that
did.
Child is going to always remember that image.
No question. Shirley, thank you for listening and calling in. I don't see how it was even funny. I mean, I don't understand how she even thought that was going to be funny. I mean, that's not funny. But I do think that she was caught up in this whole, you know, wave of anything goes as long as it's anti-Trump. I mean, can you imagine for a moment if someone would have done that against Barack Obama? Oh, my gosh. I mean, there would have been a national outcry. I mean, think about that. Am I telling you the truth? Yes, I'm telling you the truth. You know it. I don't even find it funny. And but she is, and the reason I think so many are walking away from her is because they realize that she was caught up in the moment of what they have all created. And it could be very dangerous and very troubling for a country going forward. All right, folks, out of time for today, but sorry I didn't get to all the calls on the board. We'll hopefully, Lord willing, be back again tomorrow. Hope you will as well, and we'll again talk about the issues of the day. Until next time, though, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.